Good morning, church family. Man, what a great morning. So good to see all those young people singing, glorifying God's name. I just love it. Let's pray. God, you are so good. And as we just sang that song, God, just the reminder that you have come, not because we are faithful, not because we are glamorous or we deserved your love or your grace or your mercy, but you came because that's who you are. And you are faithful, and you are full of love, and you are full of mercy. And God, we are humbled by you taking on flesh, by you coming and being laid in a manger, ultimately by going to the cross for us, Jesus. We are so thankful for who you are. We are thankful that we can gather as your church and we can lift up your name and glorify your name. And we pray that you are worshiped well this morning. In your name, amen. This is the fourth and final week of Advent. We get to light the Christ candle in just a few days. The word Advent means coming. It's a season of preparation. Preparing to celebrate Jesus, our Savior, and reflect on what his coming means for us and what his coming means for the world. And this week's Advent theme is love. Now, in this Christmas series, this short series we started last week, we were exploring these themes of Advent by looking at the words and phrases that were passed along by angels to different people in the Christmas story, some leading up to that holy night of Jesus' birth, some on the night itself. And last week, we looked at the words the angel said to the shepherds who were living out in the fields nearby Bethlehem, and we explored, why did God choose shepherds of all people to deliver this news of his son's birth? That the Messiah was born, that he is finally here. And so we looked at talked about how they were almost the lowliest people in society in first century Palestine. That they were looked down on socially by many, that they were even at a disadvantage spiritually because they were dirty, they were unclean, they hung out with animals most of the time, and they couldn't regularly attend prayer or attend synagogue like most of the other Jews. And so we talked about how it wasn't by accident that God chose shepherds to deliver this amazing news. And there's a good chance that maybe God chose them for those very reasons. That they would know, and that we would know, and the world would know that Jesus came for everyone, even shepherds, right? Even us. That there's no one who is too far gone. That there is no one who is too lost or too sinful for God to save. Praise Jesus. Amen? Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. This is why Jesus came. And so we saw that in the words the angels proclaimed to those shepherds. Well, this morning, as we reflect on this theme of love, we can go in two different directions in the Advent season. We can explore love in the vertical sense, talking about God's love for us. But I feel like we did that quite well last week, talking about how God loves us so much that Jesus came, just the way we are, where we are at. And so today I want to shift from the vertical to the horizontal, and I want to look at how we are to love others. And more specifically, I want to talk about a particular way that we can show love to one another, a way that is modeled to us through those same shepherds. Now, last week I showed you a couple of clips from the Chosen's Christmas episode, Holy Night, and I'm going to continue that this morning. I would like to show you a couple. This first one is a variation, actually, of a scene we saw last week. To kind of set it up a bit, the angel's visit has come and gone. The shepherds are at that moment when they're rushing to Bethlehem to see this child who has been born on that holy night. They're rushing to Bethlehem, and then they rush off. Maybe you noticed that last week. But I want you to listen to what the other shepherds, not the one that we're kind of, they kind of help us focus on, but listen to how the other shepherds, to what they are saying in the background, and where do they go? Watch this.
Ah. so beautiful.
We must tell someone.
We must tell everyone.
We must tell everyone.
Everyone. Yes, yes,
thank you.
We've waited for this for so long. So long.
His arm. His arm.
His arm.
His arm.
Yes, his arm.
Oh, it's okay. What will you name him?
Jesus.
We will name him Jesus. I must go. People must know. People must know.
People must know.
Did you catch it? We have to go tell someone. We have to tell everyone. People must know. So we've seen the moment unfold. Now let's read it unfold from God's word out of Luke chapter 2. Once again, it'll be on the screen. It says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. The NIV, I think, says verses 17 and 18 a little bit clearer this morning. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So once again, the first thing the angel says to the shepherds is, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will be great joy for who? All the people. And last week we saw how meaningful that probably was for them as shepherds, right? To know that the Messiah was for them too, that God loves them, that they were not forgotten, they were not untouchable, they were not unredeemable, such an important truth. But listen, they didn't leave it there and just think that Jesus' coming was all about them and only them. Did they? No, they understood what Jesus' coming meant for everybody else too. That he came for all the people. That's what the angel said. And so with that in mind, look at verses 17 and 18 again. When they had seen him, who? What? Right? They saw, the angel said, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger of all places. Yeah, that would be a pretty big sign. And he is the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. When they saw him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So one minute, you have the shepherds who are rushing to Bethlehem to see this thing that God has told them about, to see the Messiah for themselves, and then the next second, you see them rushing off rushing into the different corners of the town of Bethlehem, off to the townspeople who haven't had a chance to hear the good news. The Messiah is here. Think about this. He has come. What we have been waiting for our entire lives, what our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents have been waiting for, he is here. It's now. You know, in many ways, these shepherds were the first evangelists in the Bible. Think about that. Long before there were 12 apostles, there was a small circle of lowly shepherds who told people about Jesus, the Messiah. That explaining that in his coming, there is now great reason for a turning toward hope, a turning toward peace and joy. He's here. He came, and so they went. But I think that we should see that the shepherds had been prepped for this work in the message that the angels told them. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. It would have been amazing for them to hear this message, but the all in that message was clearly for all. It was the good news is for everyone. And then the angel doubles down on this truth by referencing this child, the Messiah, the Savior. So you understand, we don't know how educated these shepherds were. Most people assumed at that time that shepherds weren't that educated. But as Hebrew children, they would have grown up being taught the Hebrew scriptures. For sure, they would have known about the Messiah. They would have been waiting for the Messiah like every other Jew. And they knew that he was going to come and rescue mankind. And so when this angel says, all... And when he says that it's the Savior who has been born, the Messiah, this would have prepped them for going. And I wonder if even before they ran to Bethlehem, if they would have already known that they were going to have to go and tell everybody else. I wonder if on their way to Bethlehem, they had people in mind. I can't wait to tell so-and-so. He's going to be so excited, right? You know, in some ways, if you think about it, the shepherds were especially well-suited for this role of the first evangelists because it was in their very nature as shepherds, their personality, in their posture, in their skill set to provide care. That's what shepherds do. That is the job description of a shepherd. And maybe this further answers the question that we asked last week, why God chose shepherds of all people to share this amazing news with, that the Savior is born. Maybe it was because they wouldn't keep it to themselves. They would go and share it. Maybe it was because even though they work with sheep, they have skills that they can employ to help with people. They just know how to direct and protect others. They have a tender but firm voice to call out directions, to call out warnings. Their heart beats to pull out the lost and the hurting out of the thickets. You know, the image of God as the good shepherd is all throughout God's word, as is the image that people are sheep. Not a flattering image, by the way. It's interesting that Jesus, when he was first calling his disciples, he transformed a small group of fishermen into what? Open book. Fishers of men, right? I'm going to make you fishers of men. Here, he takes a small group of shepherds, and in a way, he turns them into shepherds of men, where they can lead and point and direct people to safety, to green pasture, to quiet waters, to their Savior. It seems only natural that they would rush to Bethlehem to see this thing the Lord has told them about. But it seems just as natural that immediately they rush off into Bethlehem to tell others. He came. So of course they went to the people to tell them everything. Can you imagine the story? There we were, right? Out in the field. This is what we said. This is what we saw. This is who the shepherds were. They cared. They provided care for those in need. This is what it meant for them to love others. I love the way that they put it in that scene. People must know. People have got to know. And church, I wonder, do we have that same love for our neighbors? Do we have that same love for our community and for our world? Do we have that same sense of urgency about our Savior? People must know. Jesus' presence inspired this same consistent pattern all through the Gospels and through the rest of the New Testament. Jesus' coming inspired people to go and to share about who he is and what he has done. This is what love looks like. It's not just in the Gospel of Luke that we just read. If you look in Mark and John's Gospel, it begins with an emphasis on John the Baptist, who went in light of Jesus coming to prepare the way for the Lord. Then Jesus reaffirms this natural love for people in teaching his followers to go. This is how he trained his disciples. While he was with them, he sent out the 12 to go and share. Then he sent out 72 to the surrounding villages and towns and communities to share the love of God, to introduce Jesus. In all four gospel accounts, and each one in their unique way, they show a resurrected Jesus urging the disciples to go tell people about him. Why? Because people must know. People have to know that God loves them, that he came for them, that he wants to redeem them. Now, Luke, of course, is the author of this Christmas account that we just read this morning. He's also the author of the book of Acts. Acts is the record of the evangelistic efforts of the early church. The record of Acts is people taking the gospel to other people. This is the story. Right? From the opening chapters, the pattern is there. Jesus came, so they went. So let's think about this for a second. If at the start of the gospel, the pattern is set for God's people, and it's embraced by God's people to go in light of his son's coming. And this pattern is set and embraced in the middle of the gospel story and at the end of the gospel story, and it's the story of the early church. Maybe it's a pattern that's set for us and needs to be embraced by us. Maybe this is part of what love looks like. He came, so we go. Last week we talked about all the surprising things that we have in common with shepherds. And I wonder, is this one of them? Is the church, is Christ's church still going? See, God's love for us in sending Jesus should naturally express itself in our love for others by pointing them to Jesus and who he is and what he has done in each and every one of our lives. You know, I love the saying as a Christian that we are just beggars telling another beggar where we found bread. That's it. We're just pointing people to where we have found hope, where we have found freedom, where we have found life, and where they too can find it. And you don't even have to go far. Right? We can tell those just right outside our doors. Those who are just down the street. You see in Luke chapter 2 that the shepherds went to the townspeople of Bethlehem. They started there. Why? Well, it'd be weird to run past them to go tell somebody else. Right? This is the people right under their noses. This is the most natural thing for us to do. And this is often part of the going pattern that you see in the New Testament. It always seems to start with the ones that are near. Jesus sent his disciples first to Israel. Right? To the towns, to the villages that were nearby. In Acts 1:8, Jesus is commissioning his followers. And he says this. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth." And so, of course, the disciples, when they waited for the Spirit of God to come upon them, right? You see the story at Pentecost in Acts. The Spirit of God comes upon them. They stepped out the front door, and they proclaimed the name of Jesus. And over 3,000 people came to a saving faith in Jesus. And then just naturally, they went out to all of Judea, to Samaria, right? And hovering above all of this is this call from God that we would love our neighbors, that we would love our oikos. Oikos is a Greek word in the New Testament that means those in kind of your family circle. Now, it's different than us. Back then, when they had their kind of family circle, it was not just your immediate family. It was your extended family. It was all the slaves and people you had in the house. There was this large number of people that they had influence in their family. This is their oikos. And so this is what we're talking about. Right? Our neighbors, our community, this is where we should start. Sometimes I think it's easier to think that people that need to know the gospel, that people that are lost and never heard the name of Jesus before live so far away that that's where we need to go first. But what about those that God has already placed in your life on purpose that you would share? You know, I did a lot of hunting when I lived in Wyoming. And hunting in Wyoming is way different than hunting in Alberta. You can see things. And when you're hunting in Alberta, in Wyoming, you do a lot of glassing because you can see for miles and miles and miles. You can see mountains and big, huge open space. And so you have binoculars or a spotting scope, and you spend a lot of time looking for animals. What's interesting is the temptation, as soon as you get binoculars, is to look as far away as you can see first. And so you're looking at a hillside 3 kilometers away, trying to find animals that you can make a play on, and you'll miss an elk 200 yards in front of you. And I think sometimes we do that with the gospel. I think sometimes we get so focused on what's beyond us that we don't see who God has called us to go to in front of us. So maybe take a second and think, even right now, about who in your life, in your oikos, needs to know about the goodness of God through the gift of Jesus. What might it look like for you to love them with the good news this Christmas? And maybe the easiest and lowest hanging fruit right now, this time of year, is invite them and bring them to one of the Christmas Eve services where they will hear the gospel. But who is just one person or one family nearest you who needs to know of Jesus' coming? Of what he has done in your life, and that his coming can mean a great turning for them towards hope and peace and joy and purpose. And while we start here, yes, we are also called to go to the ends of the earth, because Jesus came for all people. That's what the angel said. And that's the example that the shepherds show us. It's not just about us. Where the gospel starts here, where we're at, but it continues to go out from here, spreading until all have heard. Everybody has a chance to hear the good news of Jesus. In Matthew 28, this is what we call the Great Commission. Jesus is talking to his followers, and he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age." Friends, Jesus came for all nations. And he has called us to go and to proclaim him to all nations, to the very ends of the earth. It's both. Right? When we go in love with the news of God's divine love for people, we go first to the ones nearest us. And then it goes out from there. Right? It's always been the call of the church. This is why missions is such a big part of this church. If this is your church home, this is your church family, then you know this is a large part of who we are as a church. And perhaps you would consider, you would pray about joining us on a short-term mission trip this next year. And joining us as we go out and we share the name of Jesus, we proclaim the name of Jesus and the love of God with others in other nations. Maybe for you right now, you know, just going on a short-term trip is your family stage, your work stage. This is just not where you're at. We can still have a hand. We can be a part of giving towards missions that are bringing the gospel to other places in the world. You can be giving, you can be praying, we can be holding the ropes here at home. But can I just say, if you can go, would you consider going on a short-term mission trip with us? Because I think it'll change the way that you see how God is working in the world. And it'll change the way that you see how God wants to use you and can use you, even here at home. So often people say, why would we spend so much money? Why would we go so far away to share the gospel when there's lost people right here? Absolutely. My question is, are you sharing the gospel with the lost people right here? Most people that come on a short-term mission trip, halfway through the trip, say, why am I not doing this at home?
Right? There's something when you see God use you, when you see God at work, that motivates us to come home and be who God has called us to be at home. He came, so we go. Right? He came, we go. There's a new believer in our church, in our discipleship group, actually, that, and I'm not going to share too much of her story because it's her story and it's what God has done in her life. But I just love about a year and a half ago or so, God started doing a work in her. She would tell you that she was an atheist, but I think she'll also tell you that she was searching. She was trying lots of different things and she was asking questions, and God started doing a work, and she knows Jesus today, I think in a large part because people were willing to go and share with her how Jesus had saved them and what Jesus had done in their life and in their family's lives. People were willing to go and share with her the amazing news of the gospel, that God loves her just the way she is. Just the way he found her. He doesn't need her to change first, but he loves her. He wants to save her, and he will give her a new heart, and he will transform her and her family. And she now has come to experience the goodness of Jesus for herself. And it's such this beautiful picture, and there's just so much joy, and I love it. And it's because people were obedient to go. Jesus came, so we go, right? And this is what love looks like. And I pray that God would use each of us in a similar way this next year, that we would have a story to tell similar to that. Who do you know that needs to hear the good news of Jesus? That we are just a beggar telling another beggar where we found bread. We're not any better than anybody else, but we also understand how badly people need Jesus, because I know how badly I needed Jesus. To close this morning, I just want to show one last scene from this Chosen's Christmas episode. It's a really short one, but it might be one of the most important. And this is what I would love for it to look like when we leave service today. Watch this.
To us, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. To establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore.